Welcome to Peace by Believing with John Redmond, Associate Pastor of First Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. It is inevitable that difficult times will come our way. Today, John looks to God's Word to show us what to do when those times come in his message titled, Let God Handle It.
I don't know how it is with you in your life, but I try to read my Bible every morning. Some days I miss, but I try to get it done. My Bible reading plan this year takes me through a chapter in the Old Testament on average. A chapter in the New Testament every day. I have a devotional book and I have a time of prayer after I do all that. I like to do it in the morning. Last Tuesday, I woke up, I read my Old Testament reading. I was behind. I did not read my New Testament reading. I prayed, but I didn't do the fullness of my praying. And I thought to myself, well, when I get home today, I'll do that. I'll spend my evening in the New Testament and I'll do my praying. I got home Tuesday night about 6, 7, whatever the time was. And it was it was a good day. It was a productive day. But do you ever just get home from work or maybe get home from a busy day and you've got something on your mind? I don't mean cancer. I don't mean anything major. You've just got something on your mind and you're trying to figure out the best way to proceed forward with it. Not a big deal, just something. Well, that's where I was Tuesday night. And so I got home and I didn't read my Bible Tuesday night. I just couldn't get my mind. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get in the spirit to do it. I didn't pray. I'm not saying I didn't talk to God, but I didn't do my normal evening prayer time that I would have done. And all night long, I sat in my chair there and I was just thinking, now God, what would be the best way forward here? Should I do this? Should we do that? It was not a big deal, just something I was trying to figure out. Lord, what is the best way to proceed? Well, it got to be about 11:30. I didn't have any clear answer on that, and it's time for me to go to bed. So I went around the house, started turning all the lights out, making sure the doors were locked. And as I was going to check the front door and make sure it's locked and turn the light off in that area, God the Holy Spirit took my mind back to the chapter I had read that morning out of the book of 1 Samuel, and it was like God said to me, John, in that chapter, in that story that you read this morning, lies the answer to your question. And I thought about that. Now, I don't know how it is when God speaks to you, but when God speaks to me, it doesn't take God very long to say a whole lot. Whereas with me, sometimes it takes me a long time to say not much. But God can say a lot in a little bit of time. And with me, when God's Spirit speaks to my spirit, it's just about this quick. It's a thought. It comes in my mind. It's something in my heart. It's like, now, it may take me 10 minutes to articulate and to verbalize what it is God put in my heart. But it didn't take God 10 minutes. God does it. There it is. And as I was getting ready for bed on Tuesday night, God took my mind, I'm telling you, in less than a second, He took my mind back to that devotional I had read, and God gave me 4 words. And with these 4 words, God said, here lies the answer to your question. And here are the 4 words. Let God handle it. See, what I know is this. Everybody in this room today and everybody watching at home has some kind of a situation in your life. For some, it's cancer or it's some physical problem. For others, it's a family situation going on. For some today, it may be a broken relationship and a broken heart. For others, it's a financial situation caused by the loss of a job or some other reason. But you've got that situation, and you came to church today because 30 years ago, your mother told you to go. You just came because it's the right thing to do. But what you really thought as you were driving on these parking lots today is, God, I don't know if I'll get it or not. I know I'll get a sermon. I know I'll get some songs. But God, what I need today is a fresh word from you on how to proceed forward with this situation in my life. Say, well, John, what in the world passage were you reading in the Bible on Tuesday morning that would enable God to show you that? Well, open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, I'll just show you this verse to kind of put this in context. In verse number 13, as a young man, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. David was the second, he became the second king of Israel. At this time, though, Saul was the king. And yet God had rejected Saul. Saul had sinned twice. He had gone against God, dishonored God. And God said to Samuel the prophet, I have rejected Saul as the king of Israel, and I have found for myself someone else who will lead my people, and his name is David, and he is a man after my own heart. And so here is Samuel in Bethlehem at David's family's house. And in verse number 13, we read that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers. Now watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. That was his home. Samuel anointed David as the next king, and then he went home. Now what was it about David that caused God to choose him? Was it that David was a perfect person? Well, we know he wasn't. David's sins are the most well-known sins in all the Old Testament, adultery and murder. But it was not his perfection that got God's attention. God knew he would commit those sins. It was his heart, that David had a heart for God. In fact, if you look back in verse number 7, one of the greatest verses in all the Old Testament, because when Samuel first got to Jesse's house and started seeing he saw his oldest son, a man named Eliab, big, strong, impressive physique. And Samuel said to himself, well, this must surely be the one whom God has chosen to replace Saul. Look what God said in verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his stature, his appearance, his physical stature, because I have refused him. I have rejected him. Now, here's the word from God. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so God saw something in David's heart. What he saw was a love for him, a love for God, a sensitivity to the things of God, and he was now anointed to be the next king. Well, the problem with it, not that there was a problem, but the situation is, Saul was still the king, and David was so young, it's not that he couldn't have become the king, but he wasn't the king yet. And so This process goes on of David being the next king, but Saul was the king. And in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we read that David kills Goliath. And we're all familiar with that story, and it was a wonderful thing. Now, instead of Saul just saying, thank you, Lord, you have given me this young shepherd boy, and he has the courage to slay the giant Goliath, and now our army has grown stronger and more confident because of this young man. Instead of rejoicing in the blessing that David was to him, Saul didn't do that at all. In fact, if you look at chapter number 18, and beginning in verse number 7, after David killed Goliath, and then all the Philistines got scared and ran away from the Israelites, and the Israelites pursued them, and they just destroyed, multiplied thousands, we are given that impression, of Philistines. And in chapter 18, verse 7, so the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Now watch verse 9. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. He eyed him with suspicion. Saul has his eyes on David because he's now getting jealous of this young man. And in verse 11, we see something terrible happen here. It says, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. And so as we continue to read this story, and we'll see more today, Saul now is trying to kill David. He's trying to destroy David. He's trying to wipe David out. And as we'll see, David had multiple opportunities to destroy Saul, and yet he didn't do it. Here's what came to my mind as I was, and again, the situation that is totally different, but the principle is the same, and it won't be the same situation for you, but the principle is the same. David made a decision that even though Saul hated him and was trying to kill him, he would not retaliate, he would not strike back, that he would let God handle it. Now, if you'll go, for example, go to chapter 26. Chapter 26, and I'll just show you where he really had a chance to wipe Saul out. And he chose not to do that. In chapter 26 and verse 7, David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp. So Saul is sound asleep with all his soldiers around him, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. That is, this man says to David, he said, David, God has given you your enemy. God has given you Saul. Here's his spear. Let me take that spear, and let me put an end to Saul. And then you won't have to be on the run, and you won't have to be afraid. And he even couched it in spiritual language. He said, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. But notice how David responded in verse 9. David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go. And so they took the spear, didn't kill Saul, went away. And the next morning, David basically says to Saul, Saul, here's your spear. I could have killed you if I had wanted to, but I didn't. And now you should know how committed I am to you and how loyal I am to you. But the point I'm making here is David refused to take matters into his own hands. He had an opportunity, we would say, to fix the situation or to solve the problem, but he didn't do that. He resisted that, and he let God handle it. Now, as we think about our situations in life, and this is an extreme example. Hopefully nobody in the world is going through something like this. I can't imagine it. But we all have situations. And sometimes it's not even a bad, it's just a, God, what do you want me to do? How involved in this? What's the solution to this? And sometimes God just says to us, here's the best thing for you to do. You just let me handle it. Now, when I say that, let God handle it, it's easy for us to interpret that to mean that we don't do anything. That here we have a problem, and so we're going to let, preacher said, let God handle it, and so what we're going to do, we're going to just sit back on our hands and do absolutely nothing. We're going to let God handle it. Well, we are going to let God handle it, but that doesn't mean that we become passive, and that doesn't mean that we do nothing, because that's not what we see David doing. David let God handle it, but David also did some other things. And I want to give you three little steps that you can take when you have a situation in your life that is very challenging and you don't know what to do with it. You do want to let God handle it, but the question is, what are you supposed to do as you're letting God handle it? Three things. Number one, I would say to you, do your part. Do your part. God gave us a mind. God gave us common sense. If you're sick, go to the doctor. If you need a job, apply for jobs. If there's a problem in a relationship, try to make that right. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all people. I mean, try to make that right. You can't just sit back and do nothing. In fact, go back to chapter number 18. I'll show you twice what David did. As Saul was trying to kill him, David was not totally passive. In verse number 11, again, Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But watch this. But David escaped his presence twice. David didn't just stand there and let Saul throw spears at him. Look in chapter number 19 and in verse number 10, same thing. David sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. See, David, I think sometimes when we think about faith and what do we do in situations like that, sometimes we just think, well, maybe David should have just said, go ahead, Saul, throw your spears at me. God will protect me. And if we read that verse, we'd say, man, that's a lot of faith that David had. Well, that wouldn't have been faith. That would have been presumptuous. That would have been foolish. But what did he do? He did what he should have done. He got out of dodge. He got out of danger. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. The prudent see danger and take refuge. And so David did his part. He got out of harm's way. And God doesn't want us to just be passive and do absolutely nothing. Go to chapter 23. I'll show you something else that's involved in doing our part. Notice the role of prayer here in David's life. They told David, saying, look, David, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Notice what he did. He inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." And so David here in this whole narrative, he's faced with a situation. He's trying to make a decision. And what did he do? He prayed. He said, "God, should I fight or not fight? Should I go against them or not go against them?" And God said, "Yes." So part of doing our part is common sense, doing the obvious thing. But part of doing our part is praying, sometimes extended seasons of prayer, where we say, "God, in this case, exactly what is it that you want me to do?" So that's the first thing I would say to you. We're going to let God handle it. Let God give us wisdom. Don't do anything until God makes it clear. But while you're waiting, do your part. Gather the facts. Have the conversations so that you'll be responsible. The second thing is guard your heart. Number one, you do your part. Number two, you guard your heart. Now, go to chapter 24, because this is the thing about David. He had that tender heart toward God. And on this occasion in chapter 24, David and his men are in the back of a cave. And on this particular day, Saul and his men walk into the same cave. And so look in chapter 24, verse 4. "The men of David said to him, 'This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" They were saying to him, "David, take him down. Wipe him out. Solve the problem." And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Now look in verse 10. David now is speaking, and David says to Saul, "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" And then in verse 17, Saul said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me good for my evil, whereas I have rewarded you with evil." And so the reason that David cut that corner of Saul's robe is so that he could then show that to Saul, kind of like with the spear, and say, "Saul, I was this close to you. I cut off a corner of your robe. I could have taken you out, but I did not do that." And yet David's heart, remember, he's a man after God's own heart. His heart was so tender that it says his heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. As I think about this very dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship between Saul and David, and all the dysfunction was with Saul, not David. Think about this. Saul envied David. He hated David. He tried to kill David. He did all these things against David. But David never hated Saul. David loved Saul, and he was faithful to him, and even when he had a chance. And so it says to me that in life, we have to guard our heart, certainly from sin. But we have to guard our heart from any types of feelings that wouldn't be the right times of feelings. And David did that. And so we're going to do our part, and we're going to guard our heart. And the number three thing is we're going to just give God time. Now go back to chapter 26. And I want just to give you a feel for how this all got resolved. In those times in life, I'm telling you, this is a word from God today. In those seasons of life where you've got a situation, and you don't know what to do, and it's stressful, and it's tense, and it's confusing, and mine was nothing like what David, but maybe yours is. Maybe you even feel like people are throwing spears at you, or coming against you, or something like that, and you try to figure out what to do. Well, here David made a decision to let God handle it. Now, that was in chapter 26. Now look in chapter 27. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing's changing. Chapter 28. God hadn't handled it yet. Go to chapter 29. Nothing's happening. Chapter 30, the situation is still not resolved. Chapter 31, Saul, this was a sad end to his life. In fact, if you look in verse number 3, you see how Saul, his life came to an end. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. Saul took his own life. The sword that David could have used to end Saul's life, now Saul takes either that sword or some other similar sword, and he ends his own life. But still, the whole situation is not fully resolved. Now go to 2 Samuel chapter number 1, because God was not finished blessing David for his obedience in this particular situation in his life. And in chapter number 2 and in verse number 4, we read that the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And so David was anointed king over Judah. Now turn, keep turning. Go to chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 and find verse 3. Because sometime after that, see, God still wasn't finished doing all he was going to do for David and honoring him for his obedience. This is interesting to me. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. He's first anointed king of the southern part, and then he's anointed king over the whole nation of Israel. And as I was thinking about this on Thursday morning, already having experience, and the question I had was already worked out, but just still trying to apply the principles of this story to David, to my own life, and to our lives. And it was like God just spoke this to my heart. And this is the new thing today that I'm just passing on to you as an undeveloped sermon and even an undeveloped thought. But I feel in my heart a fresh and a timely word for God today. If you, in your life, will let God handle those situations when you don't know what to do, or if it's extreme like David, when you could just take matters in your own hands and handle it yourself, if you'll resist that temptation and let God handle it, out there in your future somewhere, there is a double anointing in store for you. You see, David was already anointed. He'd been anointed back in 1 Samuel. But as the story plays out and he goes through all these challenges, not just with Saul, but with the Philistines and all the things that he was going through, and on each turn, he's asking God, "God, what should I do?" He's praying. He's doing his part. He's guarding his heart from bitterness and anger and revenge and retaliation. And he's free of all that. And not only that, he's giving God time. He said, "God, if I'm going to let you handle it, I'm going to let you handle it." And it may take who knows how long. And it just kept playing out. But at the end of it all, what happened to David? He received a double anointing. And so today, we've all come to the service for different reasons. But I'll tell you this, we all have in common. We all need a fresh word from God. And as plainly as I know how to communicate one, here it is. Whatever you're facing, you let God handle it. Yes, you do your part. Yes, you guard your heart. Yes, you give God time. Yes, you know that if you let God handle it, out there somewhere, there's a double anointing in store for you, a blessing in store for you. And as you wait for that, there's peace. And listen, many of the Psalms that David wrote, he wrote while he was on the run from Saul. He's in caves. He's in fortresses. His life is on the line. And he's pouring out his heart to God. And he's staying connected to God. And he's being faithful to God. And here we are, thousands of years later, benefiting from the way David handled a difficult experience in a difficult situation in his life. And so, you came to church. We sang the songs. Had the announcements. We have our opportunities to tithe. We had our sermon. You leave from here. And I pray to God these four words will be in your mind all day long. Let God handle it.
If you are thinking that you would love to let God handle your troubles, but you do not know Him personally, we would love to help you begin a personal relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus. Please send us an email to info@peacebybelieving.org. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you being with us on the next Peace by Believing with John Redmond.